In keeping with Mark's scripture he read earlier on from Revelation about we overcome the enemy by the word of our testimony, I want to just share testimony. After worship, Olivia, Chris and Christy's daughter, came and gave me this picture that she drew during worship. When the presence of God was in this house during worship, how many of you felt that? Hey? She drew this picture. And I want to tell you that this is a prophetic picture for this body. She came and gave me this picture, and it says here, every giant will fall. It's a song by Ren Collective. And she said here, the Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. I may be tiny, but Christ is big. And I want to say to you today, every giant has fallen. Olivia picked up the heart of the Father of what was happening during worship this morning. Amen. Well done. You're a prophet in your midst.
So I want to talk to you this morning for about 3 hours. Then it'll take us to the... No. I want to talk to you this morning about making Father's goodness a way of life and living in the increase of God. He's a good Father. And many times we don't see him as a good Father, especially when things go wrong or there's sin or there's something in our lives. And then we see him as a Father that needs to give us a hiding, needs to come with a hammer, needs to destroy us because of what we've done. But I want to say, whether we're good, bad, and ugly, God is a good Father. He will help us, he will discipline, he will bring us through, but that is to strengthen us, and that is to put us at a place of absolute victory in him, because he's a good Father. So in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, the word of God says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. Everyone who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. But that scripture can only be true if we see that God is a good Father. Because it even goes on and it says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? And if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? See, unless we know Father is good, we won't ask him. We won't even seek him. And we won't knock on the door of heaven's grace, heaven's mercy, heaven's provision, the beauty of heaven to come to earth. And we can live as it is in heaven, let it be on earth. Isn't that the prayer Jesus tried to pray, teach his disciples? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We can't live on earth as it is in heaven unless we see our Father is a good Father. So I want to take us through this morning, and I want to help us to understand, including me, that our Father is a good Father. God's word clearly tells us that God has a plan for every single one of us this morning. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 says this, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and to give you a hope. Part of God's purpose for us, friends, and I can call you friends because we love this church and we love the people of this church and we enjoy the eldership and the leadership of this church. So part of God's purpose for you and for me is that we discover his plans and his purposes for us as individuals. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which Father prepared in advance for us in Christ Jesus. And you know, we've restricted the good works of God only to a Sunday morning or church gatherings. I want to tell you, the good works of Father is 24/7. It's to advance the kingdom. And it's everywhere. It's in our homes. It's with our families. It's in our workplace. It's where we do sport. It's everywhere we advance the kingdom of God. Unfortunate thing, the kingdom never advances if we make the church only about four walls. We've got to take what's in these four walls and we've got to go change and transform society to help them understand that God is a good, good Father who loves them. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Not because we were needy or we need help. It's because He loves us that He put His Son on the cross. And when we receive Him, the love of Father, we have eternal life. In a good, good place where there's no more tears, as Mark read, and the streets are gold. Yo, I'd like some of that heaven on earth. You know, some of the gold of heaven on earth. How many of you would like that? No, just a few of you, eh? I would like it very much. Why? Because then I can go to the places where the streets don't have names and we can tell them about Jesus. That's my ambition, is to go to the unreached people groups of the world, especially Asia, and help them to discover there's a God in heaven who loves them. We need to know that everything in our lives is from God, for Him, and unto Him. He is absolutely God in heaven. Our hearts need to respond to everything that Jesus is to the Father, because Jesus only did what the Father told Him to do. Our hearts need to be set on where Jesus wants us to be and to do. Why? Because we're God's workmanship. You know, maybe only people like Mark and Maureen have got it all together. Me, I'm still God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. He is still trying. I don't need you to say anything publicly, baby. That is not so cruel. Like our Aunt God needs to help me. Like, which wife does that publicly? Mine does, but I love you. You see, if we do what Jesus wants us to do and what Jesus wants us to be, increase and the goodness of Father will be experienced by us. When we're born again of the Holy Spirit, we are put on a path and it leads us to live like Jesus did, to do what Jesus did in the glory and honor of our Father. Let me tell you something about Jesus. He was free from lack and worry. He was perfectly healthy. His close relationships were thriving. His every need was met, and He met every need from people that approached Him. Even at His place of death, at the place of where He died and He rose again, even in His resurrection, Jesus made a way for every single person to be filled with God's glory, goodness, power, provision, protection, everything that Father has, Jesus made a way for us to live there. You know the problem with God's people? We have weaknesses. How many of you got weaknesses? Maureen has lots. I had to get back at her. We all have weaknesses, amen? I have weaknesses. But I want to tell you, I've also got strengths. I have got Christ in me, the hope of glory. The unfortunate thing, most people live in the place of their sin or their weaknesses. And they camp there. They make their home here. Paul and I try to live like this. I have got strengths. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Greater is He that's in me. Me and Christ in me. Nothing can mess with us. And when the Holy Spirit says, visit your weakness, because Because in your weakness, God makes you strong. And when God makes me strong in my weakness, guess what? I don't stay in my weakness. I come back here and I walk with my head held high. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We don't live in our sin. We don't live in our weaknesses. We confess it and we move on and we live in the strengths. Because every single one of us seated here today has got some strength. God does never make mistakes with human beings. You are not a mistake. And God puts strength in you. So we don't live here. We don't sulk here. We don't get discouraged here. We don't live with disaster. We live over here. More and greater is Christ in me than you weakness. Because in my weakness, he's already made me strong. So in fact, where are your weakness? Gone. Why? Because Christ in me makes me and you strong. Sin, where are you? As far as the east is from the west, God doesn't remember it anymore. So, why do we? Why do we point out the sins of others so easily? I'm actually kind, I'm pastoral, so I'm not having a go at you. But it's so easy to point out other people's sins where God has forgiven them. He has set them free. So why do we point it out? Why? Because actually sometimes for attention's sake we can live here. Or whatever. Why do we live in our place of weakness when God has actually made us strong? Amen. Come on, people of God, come on. Come on. From God's word, there are some things and some works that bring increase of Father's goodness in our lives. And I want to share on some of those. The first one will be walking in truth and obedience. The second one is walking in faithfulness and diligence. The third one, which I don't want anybody to run out of this building, but to live with Father's goodness and increase is tithing and generous giving. Why has it gone so quiet there? Are you still there? Tithing and generous giving. We live in the increase of our Father. And then lastly, what I want to share on is believing and declaring as God's holy, holy children. By intentionally applying some of these things, these truths, we open ourselves up to receiving all that God has planned for us, and it becomes a standard of living. To hell with the devil. Somebody say amen. I know it's the end of time that it's going to happen, but through the finished work of the cross for me, Kenny LaRue, and every one of us, he is already a defeated foe. He does not have arms and he does not have feet because he's been disarmed and defeated by the cross. I don't know if you catch that South African humor. But he can still headbutt you if you allow him to. So don't allow him to headbutt you. Okay, walking in truth and obedience. Many people actually wonder, and I've come across this throughout the world. Many people wonder if God really wants to prosper us and to be good to us. God answers that in 3 John verse 2. Said, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. You know, that says to me, body, soul, and spirit, God wants me to prosper and be in health. That's God's desire for us. But if we don't see God as good, 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 and a wonderful Father, we won't prosper, we won't be in health, and our soul will be discouraged. And we battle with depression and a lot of things if it's not medically, you know, if it's not a medical thing. We put that on ourselves. In verse 3 and 4, John then goes on and he writes, for I rejoice greatly when the brothers came together and testified of the truth that is in you. What truth was in these people? That they prospered and they were in health and their souls were good with God. and it pleased John, the writer. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. There is no greater joy for me and Maureen when we come back here and we find this church walking in health and prosperity and it's good with your soul. And that you realize that your teeth is not just for eating but for smiling as well. Show somebody some teeth. Let's smile, man. You know, one of the great themes of the Bible is joy. And you decide to have joy or not have joy. And you know, just another thing before I go on, I can actually never be offended. You know why? Because offense is only offense if you take it, if you receive it. Somebody can call me anything. Like Maureen was just so disgustingly horrible publicly just now to me. Now I can either get offended, why did you do that in a public setting? Or I can just smile at it. I will not receive an offense. No matter what somebody calls me, or, you know, she says to me this, people, and I want you to know that. That I'm a young boy in an old man's body, I need to grow up sometime. The wife of my youth, the beautiful lady sitting here. Now, I can either get offended with that, or I can carry on being a little boy in an old man's body and just carry on living and enjoying life. You see, we pick up offense, and secondhand offense is even worse. I don't know why I'm touching that. It's not even in my notes. But learn something. Don't get offended. Don't get offended. Because if you get offended, you'll live with regrets. Just don't pick up the offense. Just hold it in front of you. Learn from it if you need to, or reject it. But get on with life. You see, the Bible is our source of knowing God's will and His ways, and the Holy Spirit helps us to understand God's word. The Bible expresses continuously of the love of God, and we experience something. How many of you experienced the love of God today? Because God really came and wanted to say, I love you. But as we obey God's word, His love is reflected in our lives daily, causing us to live and walk through life as Jesus walked. See, John made that clear in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3 and 5 and 6. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, 5 and 6. Now by this we know that we know God. How many of you want to know how you must know God? If we keep His commandments, by this we will know that we are in Him. He who says He abides in Him ought Himself to walk just as Jesus walked. What is our goal as Christians? Is to walk just as Jesus walked. Is to obey Him. Is to walk with Him. The great commandment that Jesus gave the body of Christ is this: to love God, to love yourself, and to love others. Especially when we mess up in life, it's very difficult to start loving ourselves. Why? Because the pillar that Maureen spoke about of condemnation will come over you. And we got to deal with the pillar of condemnation, and we got to put on that in Christ there's no condemnation for those who are called according to His purposes. You see, a lack of love leads to a lack in every single area of our lives. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit living inside of us teaches us to be true lovers of God and true lovers of ourselves and one another. When we walk in the Bible instructions with these things, we discover the power to receive everything from God, and we live by faith. Our faith is fueled by love. How many of you know that if you are loved, you can conquer the world? If I know I'm loved by Maureen, which I do, I can stand tall in society. But when we are going through issues, which she normally is the one that causes them, then I can't stand up confident. No, she doesn't. Okay. Most of them, though. But no. If this lack of love here, I don't function properly as a pastor. I can't function properly in my work. Why? Because a lack of love, we lack everything. And we can't stand tall in love. We need the love of the Father. You need to love yourself. If you don't love yourself, it's very hard to love others. It's very hard to love God. Love yourself. Even if you messed up. Even if you sinned. Even if you're still in sin and you need to get out of it. Love yourself. Because you haven't caught God by surprise. And God is looking out for you to establish you on a firm foundation once again. Obedience and walking in faith. When we walk in the Bible's instructions, we discover the power to receive everything that God's given us. Why? Because we know God loves us and we know He gives good gifts to His children. Didn't we read that scripture? So walking in truth and obedience, living in the faith of God's word, being led by the Spirit is essential to you and me living in the increase and the goodness of God. The second one, to be faithful and diligent. I don't know, but being in leadership and being a Christian for many, many years, but we all know somebody when they first heard the truth about God's word and when they first discovered the love of God, they grabbed hold of it and they walked with it and they wouldn't let go of His word. But somehow during their lives, they seemed to have gone backwards. Once filled with the good things of God, believing God, standing on His word, their lives slip into distress, discouragement, and struggling. How many of you know somebody like that? How many of you have been there yourselves? Oh, that's a little bit more honest, so don't worry about that. You see, we lay aside the truth of God's word. Maybe we start to dishonor God's leadership. Maybe we stop tithing. Instead of loving, we become judgmental and point the finger. We lose all sense of thankfulness even for the small things. You know, God's mercies are new every day. There's little things He does for you, and when we stop being thankful for them, something disappears, something goes away. Maybe life got too tough. Maybe somebody spoke and you picked up an offense and you took it upon yourself. Maybe some people just give up. You see, faithfulness and diligence are keys to keeping yourself open to receive all of the goodness of God and to live in the increase that Father wants to prosper you, bring you to health, and let it be good with your soul. You see, Proverbs 28 verse 20 says, a faithful man shall abound with blessing. How many of you want blessings of God? You've got to be faithful to the things of God. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. But unless you know that God's a good, good God, will you knock on His door? Will you seek Him? And will you find Him? See, I want to tell you, our Father in heaven is a good, good Father. And that's why we can seek Him. That's why we can follow. You see, faithfulness makes us go after the promises of God. He has given us everything for life and godliness, and His promises are very precious. But the faithfulness, when we see God is faithful, it makes us go after God. It knows that God will bless us. It knows that the heart of the Father is to prosper us. We know it. And our faithfulness says, I'm going to go after that. Diligence says, I will not give up on God, even if it's tough. Faithfulness makes us go after God. Diligence says, I will never, ever, 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 never, ever, 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 never give up. Amen? You see, faithfulness and diligence says, I know there's no other source but God for life and godliness. And I go after that. If we practice faithful and diligence, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 to 4 says this, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, as His divine power has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness, that through the knowledge of God, who has called us by His glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may partake of the divine nature of heaven, and having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Wow, I just think, you know, friends, if we see this God as faithful, we see His promises are yes and amen in Christ. When we get a correct picture of our Father and of Jesus Christ, we escape the lusts and the corruption that's in this world. And the enemy has no right to be close to us if we see God as this good, good, good Father. When we know that God is our only source for life and godliness, we will not settle for second best. We will go after what is best and what heaven can give us. Whatever He calls us to do, whatever He tells us to do, whatever the Word says to us, that's the way it's going to be for me and you from now on. Amen. The Holy Spirit, the divine nature of God, friends, lives inside of me. It's not Casper the ghost. It's God, the Holy Spirit. And where God is Lord, where the Holy Spirit is Lord, there is freedom. It's not just like a magic thing when the Holy Spirit is there, He's Lord. No, there's freedom. It's when you and me see God, the Holy Spirit, as Lord, there is freedom. It's got to do where we put God in our lives. And I want to say, He's a good, good Father. The Holy Spirit is good, good Father. Jesus is good, good Father. The Trinity is good. And when we see that, increase comes, goodness comes, release of heaven comes, and we escape the corruption that lust and everything, lust for money, lust for sex, lust for this, we escape those things. Why? Because God is a good, good, good God. And His promises are yes and amen in Christ. Freedom! Somebody else shout, freedom! Freedom! Somebody! The next one is tithing and generosity. You see, Jesus' way of life was an expression of God's love and goodness for people. Everything Jesus did was to show people God's salvation, God's goodness, to deliver blessings to them and to deliver them from curse. Everything Jesus did had those things in. You see, Jesus Himself enjoyed His life, His friends, and everything He received as God's Son, He enjoyed. Everything about His life was an investment into other people and people that God led to Him. Through the principles of tithing, friends, and giving and generosity, we have an opportunity to invest in the lives of people that God blesses to be in a local body with these resources. You see, our resources are not our resources, they're God's resources. And we get to steward what is God's. The tithe, not a tithe. You don't just bring it once. It's that tithe belongs to the Lord. Before the law, during the law, and in this day and age under the new covenant. But I think just under the new covenant, in the grace and the glory and the blessing of God, 10% is merely a minimum. And I'm not putting law on you. It's God, you've given us so much. God, we have this abundance. God, we have a job. God, we have some work we're doing. Thank you, God. 10% I'm going to give into the storehouse, and 90% I'm going to steward to your glory. It's just an act of grace. You see, tithing gets God involved in your finances. How many of you know when you got to give your tithe? And you don't give a tithe, by the way, you bring it. You never, ever give a tithe. You bring it as an act of worship and joy. How many of you, when you got to work that out, it's not so easy. Oh, no. Okay, you guys have got plenty then. But for me, it's a difficult thing from time to time. So I've got to bring this as an act of worship. I can't even pay all my bills properly. Doesn't happen here. You guys are looking at me as if I'm not telling truth. It is true, eh? But I want to tell you, friends, what it does for me is, God, I don't have enough. Will you provide, God? But I'm going to honor your word, because you said my treasuries are going to be full if I obey your commandments. You know, the love languages, you probably read that book, you know, what's it, Physical Touch, Acts of Service. You've read that book. We all have a love language. You know, Jesus has one as well, and it's called obedience. He says, if you obey me, you love me. And so we just obey God with this as an act of worship. You see, tithing involves God in your finances. Tithing is an indication that you trust God. So when it's difficult to bring to the storehouse what's actually His, it is so difficult. What do? God, I trust you to be my provider. I trust you to be my source. According to the words of Malachi 3 verse 11, tithing protects the assets that God gives you. Because it said, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Tithing is an act of thanksgiving and appreciation for God providing us with employment and with the substance and the material things of the world, or in the world. Tithing is a part of our worship to God. Biblically, we don't give a tithe, we bring it as an act of worship. We bring it to our storehouse with thanksgiving and with gratefulness. We get locked into God's heart. When we do, on the issue of tithing, our lives begin to change. We begin to trust God for the provisions that we live with, and not in our own strength and abilities. Proverbs 3 verse 9 and 10 tells us, honor the Lord with a capital and your sufficiency, from the Amplified Bible, and with the first fruits of all your income, so shall your storage places be filled with plenty. How many of us want plenty? Well, let's do what God tells us to do. And I want to tell you, it just happens. Set your tithe apart as a first principle. Pray over it. Thank God for it. And thank God for what He's given you. Thank God for what you are trusting Him for. Let His ministry start overtaking your life. Tithing is the basis of your and my prosperity, the foundation of increase for your and my life, and it points us to a good, good Father whom we trust. Giving generously into gospel missions and outreaches, according to 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7 to 11, adds to the increase that's already ours when we obey the tithing thing. This scripture says, so let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart. This isn't talking about tithing, it's talking about generosity, not grudgingly or with or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Tithing is like, but sometimes being a generous giver, it's like, we're in God. Tithing, I bring as an act of worship. Generosity, Oh, I see a need. Here we are. There's a happiness that comes, a cheerful giver. And God loves that. Amen. Come on, God's people. Your teeth aren't for eating, it's for smiling too. So when you give, smile. And give generously into what God tells you to give. And many times the local church has some things that generosity needs to come. Do it cheerfully. God loves it. God loves that act of obedience, and He loves that act of generosity. And listen to this, please. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. Why? Because you're a cheerful giver. That you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now He, Jesus, God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of righteousness in your life, while you are enriched with all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. You know, when we're generous cheerfully, do you know what happens? We increase the noise of worship in front of His throne. Many times churches and worship, it's just like dead. Not in this church. I mean, today was like super cool. But it's like this. You know why? Because we're not generous and giving to God. Financially, but also our love to one another. Also our time. We've got to be generous people. Generosity is not what we do, it's who we are. And then lastly, we look at believing and declaring. Believing and saying, believing and declaring is the final thought I want to bring to you this morning to share about how good this Father is. I believe we need to live day by day, step by step, taking hold of God's truths in every area of our lives, by believing, confessing, repenting, and receiving His wonderful promises in our lives. If we do that, friends, you will be living proof of the goodness of God to the people around you. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 and 9 in the New King James Version says, "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that is preached. That if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." So how do we get saved? We confess, we declare, and we speak it out. That's how we get saved. "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." I believe we need to discover, and this is my final point, but we need to discover a way, or the same way you receive salvation, by believing and confessing, you can receive all that God has for you. You can receive good health, good relationships, deliverance, increase. But you need to know the word of the Lord so you can declare the word of the Lord. Not your wants. This is how we experience the goodness of God in everyday living. We go to the word of God. We find out what it says. And God's word, friends, it's got the solution for every problem. God's word is just so amazing. It is health to your bodies. It leads us to reconciliation in all our relationships. It shows us prosperity, and it brings increase to our lives. I believe we need to declare what Father has already decreed. You know, so many times we ask God for things He's already decreed in the Bible. I think sometimes we need to stop asking and start proclaiming and declaring. If we understand the Word of God. You know what the Bible has said? That we are yet to destroy the works of the devil. So lack, for instance, a lot of lack is a work of the devil for me. Because God gives us life and gives it in abundance. So I don't ask God for more money. I declare, God, You have said, I will live with no lack. And I'll destroy the works of the devil. So devil, you go with this thing and you decree the blessings of God over your lives. So I think we ask things that we should be declaring. and proclaiming. Amen? You get that? We've got to be more confident in our God. We need to declare the things Father has already decreed. Father, you said it, therefore I'm going to declare it. In the face of the enemy, who's got no arms and no feet. The day me and you begin to trust God and His promises, everything in your life will change. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Now, hearing is hearing. But I want to say that when you read the words of Scripture, you're seeing words on a page of the Bible. But when you start reading loud, you're not only seeing, you're also hearing. Many people come to me and say, I want to hear God. And I say, well, take your Bible and go read it loud. And some of the issues in my life is just not going well. Well, find the Scriptures, see it, and read it loud. Because by confessing and declaring, you're putting God in His rightful place. And you don't ask Him for things He's already said is yours. We live an inheritance in this day, today. We're not only living an inheritance for the future, we're living it today. And we need to start declaring some of the things the Bible has declared and what God has already declared. If people don't learn how to think according to God's Word and live by the Spirit, their lives stay the same, or it gets worse. That's why Paul said in Romans 12 verse 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. God wants you and me to be living proof to the world around us that His will for our lives, and everything that comes with His will, is good, is acceptable, and is perfect. The purpose for sharing these keys with you today is that me and you can be transformed into being royal children in the kingdom of God, where we have a Father who loves us, whether we're good, whether we're bad. He loves us. Obviously, He wants all of us to be good, but we're all God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and we're on a journey. God has promised in His Word that we can walk in trust, on truth and obedience, that we can be faithful and we can be diligent, that we can tithe and we can be generous, that we can believe with our hearts and declare with our mouths that God is good, and that all victory is ours in Christ Jesus. There is no better time in life to live with increase and the goodness of God through the loving ways of Father than today. And if something of the message today, God, I want to live there.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.